Food safety is always important. Glenn McNeil from Fort Hays State University talks to us about how to stay safe while preparing, cooking, and eating food on this episode of the Post Podcast.
I'm very excited to talk to you about this. And we've hit on food safety stuff in the past before, but this one we're going to kind of just keep it generalized and talk about some of the best food safety practices. Do you want to just start with maybe what you see as some of the largest concerns that people might have or might inadvertently do while they're preparing food?
Well, I think most of the major concerns, especially those that deal when you prepare food at home, is people get in a hurry. Okay, they don't think about what they're doing ahead of time, you know, from that process. We have one of the safest food supplies in the world, okay, as it comes from the field to the consumer. Now, that doesn't mean that occasionally things aren't going to get, in, you know, contaminated in the field or in processing, but you'll notice those things are pretty quick in terms of recalls and getting them back. Okay, what we look at is that there are certain bacteria or pathogens that can contaminate our food, and people often call it food poisoning. Well, what we really need to remember is it's not poisoning, it's a food-borne illness. So it's something in the food that makes us sick. There are about close to 50 million cases of food-borne illness every year just in the United States.
Wow.
And that pretty much means one in six of us stands a good chance of having some form of foodborne illness. Okay, some of those we don't even know. It's so mild we don't even know. So, you know, the first thing we always tell people is, do you know what the symptoms are? Okay, so I'll ask you, what are the symptoms of a foodborne illness?
Oh, man, you're going to quiz me.
I'm going to quiz you.
I mean, stomach discomfort. Vomiting is obviously one. Man, that's kind of what I can come off with off the top of my head.
Okay, think of the flu. It's the major symptoms of a foodborne illness are very similar to those of the flu. There's usually abdominal pain, vomiting, or maybe diarrhea, or just one or the other. Sometimes there's a fever. Sometimes there's headaches. Sometimes there's body aches. So a lot of times when people get a foodborne illness, they just think they've got the flu, right? In worst-case scenarios, those symptoms can show up, you know, within, an hour, so to say, sometimes even quicker. In most cases, though, it takes somewhere between 1 and 3 days for those symptoms to develop. So by the time people get sick, a lot of times they don't think it could have been something they ate unless they get sick right away. So that's why sometimes foodborne illnesses are hard to identify. So what we talk about on the food safety side is there are some things that you know, how to handle your food, how to prepare your food, how to serve your food in terms of those things. So we talk about a lot of things that are tied somewhat into the COVID process, too. Wash your hands. Before you start any type of food preparation or handling foods, wash your hands, okay? So, you know, you've got a good start in that process. Make sure if you're using a cutting board, dishes, utensils, they're clean, and the countertops on which you work are clean. Wash them, you know, in hot, soapy water when you're done with them. A lot of times, and especially now, we hear a lot about using antibacterial wipes and paper towels to clean countertops and cooking areas, so we get a little bit better decontamination of bacteria than we would. That's fine. Paper towels are great to use to clean kitchen surfaces up. If you use laundry towels, you should use them and then put them in the laundry. You know, this is not the thing where you want to keep a towel around 4 or 5 days or a dishcloth around 4 or 5 days. Those are the things you want to use and then put in the laundry so that they can be prepared. If you use some of these sanitizing wipes or sprays, it's important to realize you need to let the counters dry before you put food on them or before you start working on them. Okay, so it means clean them good, but then give them a chance to air dry when you want to get ready to prepare foods. When you come home from the store, before you get home from the store or when you're home in the process, if you're using fresh fruits or vegetables or raw fruit products, wash them first. Okay, then put them on your cutting board to use, you know, and even things with skins or rinds. Like if you're going to peel a cucumber, you should rinse that cucumber off first, then peel it. Okay, to get any type of contaminants or toxins that would be on the surface, to get a good chance to rinse them off so you don't contaminate the edible product when you're done. Mm-hmm. Something a lot of people forget to do, wash the cans before you open them. Okay, you know, if you're going to use it, and if you use a can opener, electric, hand crank, or whatever, make sure occasionally you take that apart and wash those cutting blades in the dishwasher to get them clean. So make sure, you know, canned goods, they sit in the store for a while, they sit in your cabinet for a while. Use a clean, damp towel or running water and clean those lids off before you open those products. So, I mean, those are some of the basic things that we use. If you're thinking about food safety when you shop, okay, think about where you're going to shop and what you're going to buy before you go. Probably the last thing that you want to purchase is your meat and raw products. Okay, grocery stores now, markets now have plastic bags that you can put the meat in right at the meat counter to help keep them separate. So you want to make sure you separate your meat, your poultry, seafoods, raw eggs, those things, separate them in your grocery cart. Okay, separate them in your bags when you go through the checkout counter. We always watch to make sure that they don't put ground meat or raw poultry, even though it's in a bag or two bags, however we bag it up at the counter when we buy it. We always make sure that those things are in a separate bag. So there's no possibility or very limited possibility of cross-contamination. Same thing is true in your refrigerator. Keep those raw meat products on the bottom shelf, you know, for that. In cooking, a lot of people get a cutting board out. Okay, well, cutting boards are great to use. They protect your counters. Okay, knives are great to use. They're wonderful if they're sharp and they work great. Okay, but remember, never cut meat, fish, poultry products on a cutting board and then cut your raw produce without washing and sanitizing that cutting board. It's called cross-contamination, where the contamination's on the cutting board and you transfer it to raw food products by simply not cleaning the cutting board. And the same is true, think of your hands. Okay, when you're handling raw meat products of any kind, make sure you use soap and water and you wash your hands good before you handle raw fruits and vegetables, you know, in terms of that. Other things that, you know, a lot of people are cooking out these days, and they discovered that many people, which I'm surprised, have recently discovered that marinades are great ways to bring tenderness and flavor and alter textures of foods. And they're really good to use regardless of what you're using, okay? But don't use a marinade on a raw food product, cook that product, and then put it back on that marinade or put that marinade back on it, okay? Or if you marinate a product while it's on the grill, make sure that you bring the surface temperature back up high enough that it can affect the bacteria, the microorganisms that were in there. Some recipes will tell you, okay, you want to use your marinade to make a gravy. That's great, but the key here is boil it. Bring it to a boil before you use it to make your gravy. Because if you're boiling, you're at a minimum of 212 degrees. That's well above what is necessary to destroy harmful bacteria that can cause illness and food aspects. So other things, make sure you have a thermometer when you cook things. You know, it's cooking by color, cooking by pressure or texture is guesswork. Thermometers, temperatures tell you. Minimum temperatures for beef, pork, lamb should be 145 degrees internal when it's done. And then you should still let it rest for about 3 minutes. Letting it rest causes the temperature to come up a little bit, but also letting it rest means as soon as the temperature starts to drop, those protein fibers reabsorb some of that moisture, and it's juicier. Sometimes people will take something out of the stove, off the oven, or off the grill. They'll put it on a plate, and they'll cut it, and the juices just run. And they say, oh, wow, look at that. That's going to be so good. By the time they get it to the table and on the plate, it's kind of dry. It needs standing time to reabsorb that moisture into the muscle fibers. If you're using ground meat, 160 degrees, okay, make sure that it's 160 degrees, okay, for and basically what you're dealing with here is E. coli. You want to be sure you get it taken care of. Poultry should be 165 degrees. You know, so the temperatures are important to do that. And you cannot judge, even experienced cooks cannot always judge the piece of meat by color and time. A lot of them are pretty good, but you still want to be safe with that. People like eggs. I like my eggs runny. Okay. I also know I should not eat my eggs runny. Cook them until the whites. Yeah. Cook them until the whites are firm. Cook them until the yolks are firm. You know. So there's different temperatures and things. Get yourself a little. You can find all these little magnetic temperature charts. Stick them on your freezer. Go out and buy you a $6, we call them a stick thermometer, okay, that you can use to judge the temperatures of foods before you serve them. So we talk about cooking on one side, okay? Then on the other side, we talk about, okay, handling and preparing foods. Well, you know, once you cook something and put it out, your maximum time sitting out there is about 2 hours. You don't want to leave it out any longer than 2 hours, okay, before it's covered and back in refrigeration in terms of that process. And that's a pretty good rule of thumb, too, for when you go to the store. When you go to the store and buy things, okay, it's a good idea to try from the time you get home to get them in right away or leave them out no longer than an hour because they've already had some time out there. Make sure your refrigerator temperature is at 40 degrees. Make sure your freezer temperature is at 0 degrees or below to hold those products. Okay, and what we look at. Thawing food products. Don't throw on the counter. If something is frozen, plan enough ahead of time that you can put it in the freezer or put it in the refrigerator and let it thaw in the refrigerator. I was making some beef sticks the other day, and I took my frozen ground meat out of the freezer and put it in my refrigerator. And I'll tell you, it took 7 days for it to thaw out. It was a 5-pound package.
Wow.
Okay, and my anticipation kept growing. Every day I'd check it, and it wasn't quite there, but it took 7 days before it was fully thawed out, and it was still so cold, I could hardly touch it. You know, so, but you want to make sure that things thaw slowly in the refrigerator. If you need to thaw them quicker, thaw them under cold running water, not hot water. Cold running water out of your faucet is at a much higher temperature than the product you're trying to thaw, so it draws the coldness out of the product at a little faster rate than it would in the refrigerator. But when you set it on the counter to thaw, it thaws from the outside in, which means the outer portion of the product is well in that danger zone of 140 between 40 and 140 degrees for long periods of time, and that's when that bacteria gets to grow, you know, and that's what we see with those products. So, I mean, those are some of the basic things that we look at when we talk about food safety. And the biggest thing you can do, common sense, to protect yourself and to protect those that you're fixing and serving.
Yeah, I don't think anybody intentionally give somebody else a foodborne illness, but it can happen easier than you think.
Yeah. Most of the time, what happens is something gets mishandled. Someone is sick and handles a product, and they don't think, you know, they try to be careful and everything, but they still pass that bacteria on. So it tends to be more of a mishandling or a lack of proper temperatures than anything. When we hear about large groups of people that get sick for products, they leave things out on the counter for too long, or they don't get it cooked well enough, or we see the cross-contamination that shows up. And so if you just kind of pay a little bit of attention to what you're doing and try to be careful in using your products, most of the time it takes care of itself.
Perfect. Well, Glenn, we're very quickly running out of time here. Anything else you want to squeak in real quick before we go?
I just, cooking is great, and a lot of people have rediscovered it because of the COVID process and the shopping and everything. The biggest thing I say is just be careful, okay, and pay attention to what you're doing and keep things clean, keep things sanitary, and enjoy the food that you prepare.
Excellent. Glenn, thanks so much again for taking the time this month with us. I love this topic, and hopefully everybody can enjoy the little bit of summer we have left and get out there and have some fresh fruit, and enjoy cooking and do it safely.
Yep, and a plug here for the local extension office. Extension. You know that we're in the Cottonwood District here in Hays, Great Bend. They have lots of handouts, lots of materials on food safety and the proper handling of many different types of food. So, you know, make use of them. Get some good information from them.